So we just has completed the mission on the very, very top of Pei Zayin Amar Al. So let's start from the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ein mevin lo masuk lo mevushal." A person shouldn't bring wine that was sweet, or it was cooked, or if it's meushan, it was smoked. Heavy possible. If one does bring such wine, it would be disqualified. So then the Gemara says, "V'hak tani reisha ein mevin es alistayon ve'im heavy kasher." So listin was a type of wine we said was that was masik, that's very, very sweet. And it said if one would bring it, it would actually be kosher. So this goes against the Mishnah, which says if one brings the yain masik, it's not kosher b'dievet. So Ravina says karach v'tani. There it seems to be like a misplacement of the word imhevi pasul. If they kind of reread it in such a way whereby it's going to be imhevi, in fact, it will be considered pasul. That's how Ravina rereads the Mishnah. Vashi Amar no, chulya de shimsha la mais, chulya de pirya mais. If it became very sweet because the sun had added some whatever sweetness it does to the sugar of it, so that would not be, that's not mas. That's that called disgusting, and that's something that would be acceptable from the perspective of the Mizbeach. But if it was chulya de pirya, if it became very, very sweet because the fruit itself, because it started when fruit sometimes when they become ripe, they get sweet. When they get really ripe, they get really sweet and mushy and disgusting, that would be considered mas. So there is no stira. They're talking about different scenarios, different sources from where it gets overly sweet. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ein Mevin Yashan Divi Rebbe Chacham Machshir. Are you allowed to use wine that was old, that was a year old? Rebbe says one should not, and Chacham said, L'chachila, one's allowed to even bring it. So Amr Chizki, in my time of the Rebbe, why was Rebbe Machmir and said that one should not bring Yayin Yashan, that's a year old? Amr Krah, the Pasuk says, La Keves Yayin, it has the words keves, a sheep, right next to the word yayin, and ma keves, just like a keves has to be ben shnasa within the year, so af yayin, so to the wine, must be ben shnasa within the year, based on this hekesh. So ima keves ben shnei shanim pasul, if that's the case, if you bring a two-year-old keves b'dievet, it's pasul, we don't accept it, so that should be the same halacha, af yayin ben shnei shanim pasul. If you were to bring a wine that's been more than a year old, it should be disqualified. If you're going to say, yes, Yayin Yashan is possible, according to Rabbi Bidyevid, just like a Keves is possible, Ben Shnei Shanim. Vatani, the Brisa says, Yayin Ben Shnei Shanim Lo Yavi Vim Hevi Kasher. Our Brisa clearly says, we would accept Yayin Ben Shnei Shanim Bidyevid, so it's very different than that of the Keves. So the Gemara says, Man Shmasle Damar Lo Yavi, Rabbi. Who is the one who holds that lichachila you shouldn't bring the yayin ben shnei shanim? That's the opinion of Rebbe. V'kamar, and apparently there's a brayse that says imhevi kasher. He actually says if one were to bring it, it's kasher. So this is all part of the question. So therefore, there cannot be the source of Rebbe cannot be because the yayin is connected to keves, because then there's going to be a contradiction. Again, keves ben shnei shanim is pasul, yayin ben shnei shanim is kosher. So again, back to square one, what's the understanding of Rebbe why Yayin Yashan B'dievet should not be, L'chachil rather, shouldn't be brought. So Gemara says, Allah Amar Rava, Rava says, Hainu Taimer, there's a different reason for Rebbe, which is as follows. The Rebbe says, D'chsiv al teira yayin kiyis adam. Don't appear, don't show wine that's too red. When does wine become really red? After a year, it becomes too red, and therefore, that's the source. Nothing to do with the connection to Keves. So, l'chatchila, one shouldn't bring wine that's over a year old. But if one were to bring wine that's over a year old, b'dievet, it would be considered acceptable, according to Rebbe. But again, Chacham Paskin, that l'chatchila, you're allowed to even bring yayin yashan. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ein mevin lo min adolios. These were different things that were hanging on the ruah, whatever the you call them again.
Trellis
versus the ground. So if it's hanging on the ground, that was better wine, better grapes, because it was nourishing from the ground as opposed to being high up. So Gemara says, Tana kramim ha'avudim pamaim bashana. If it was something that was, they would dig around the vines twice a year, that would produce the best quality of wine. Rav Yosef Havale Karne de Pardesa. Rav Yosef had, he owned a certain corner of an orchard. And the Rafik Beit Tafe Tve Rivka, and he would do a lot of digging around the vines that were there. V'avad Chamer de Dari Maya Al Chad Train, and he needed, the wine was so potent, it was so strong, such a nice wine, it required so much water, one wine for every, for every two things of wine. The ratio is 1 to 2, which is much more, you need to dilute. Usually it's less dilution necessary, but his wine was so strong, it needed more water to dilute the wine. That's how rich the wine of Rav Yosef was, and because he had dug around it, that apparently helps the quality of the grapes and the wine. The Gemara then says, quotes from the Mishnah, Lo hayu kontin oso bechatzavin gedolin. The Mishnah had said, you don't place them in large vats of wine, because when you begin to remove some of the wine, the remaining wine becomes pogum and gets bad. So you left them in very small containers. So Tana the Brisa tells us, Chavios, Kadios, Ludios, Benunis. These, I think, are certain types of jugs that were considered permissible to preserve the wine for Nisachim. Ein manichin son shtaim, when they would store them, they wouldn't place two barrels next to each other, because that would actually cause it to go bad. If one got bad, that would then make the re'ach ra pass over to the adjacent barrel. They would actually store them ela achas achas. It would be dispersed far away from each other. This way, if anyone were to get bad, it would not negatively impact the one next to it. They were spread out, dispersed in such a way. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, so when the Gizbar was watching, he was supervising the person taking the wine out of the barrel. And when the Gizbar noticed that the white mold was about to come out of that straw that he was pulling everything out, he would like whack him. I don't know if he whack him hard, but he gave him like a little push. So the Gemara says, Tana, Zarek HaGir Shal Shmarim, if the white mold that was on top of the sediment would begin to come out, HaGizbar Hikish Bekana, he gave him a little smack with a stick. So, why didn't he just tell him, you could stop? No, stop, it's enough wine. Why do you have to hit the guy? So the Gemara says, Messiah Lei Le Rabbi Yochanan. This supports Rabbi Yochanan's statement, which is, Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Kishem Shadibar Yafu Le Besamim, just like speech benefits the Besamim when it comes to grinding Hatev Hedek. Hedev Hadek, we say that you tell the guy to, like, you inspire him to do better grinding of the Besamim. So, Dibor is apparently Yafu Le Besamim, Kach Dibora Layayim, but speech negatively affects wine in some way. Therefore, we don't want to speak during this process of drawing out the wine. Therefore, he gives a little hit to tell him that now's enough. Stop drawing out the wine from the barrel. The Gemara then quotes from the Mishnah here, Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he was talking about the different types of wines. The Gemara says, by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asks the following shaila, Hikdisho Mao She Yilka Alav. Let's say the person was Makdish wine, but it was wine that was bad, that had different things that made the wine disqualified. It was puzzle. So what would the din be? If the guy was Makdish puzzle Yain, would he get Malchus for this? Mishim Balmum. This wine is considered a blemished wine. And Kevin de puzzle, since the wine is considered disqualified for the Nesachim, is it considered Kibal Mum Dami? Like a person's Makdish a Behema Bal Mum and would get Malchus, similar to what we had asked yesterday about Menachos that were Puzzle. Oh, Dilma, Ain Bal Mum El Behema. Or maybe the Lachas of giving Malchus for being Makdish a Bal Mum is only relevant to a Behema, but not to that of Yain. And the Gemara answers, Teku. There is no answer. Tani Rabbanan, the Gemara finished off the Braisa, the Perek finished off the Braisa, Tani Rabbanan, Elim, when it came to the rams that were needed for the Kerbanos, Mim Moav. Moav apparently had the best quality of rams. That's where they would retrieve the Elim. If it came to Kvasim, the sheep, that was taken from Chevron, Agalim, the calves, were Misharon, and Gozalos, the birds, were from Mihar HaMelech. So these are different locations that had the best of those types of animals throughout the Eretz Yisrael and I guess the surrounding areas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevin Kvasim Shegavin Karachon. Rabbi Yehuda said when they would bring a sheep, it was a sheep that was so fat where the height and width were the same. That's a pretty heavy sheep. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava Barav Shila, my time, what was the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that he required such a fat sheep? Dechsiv Yire Miknecha Bayomahu Kar Nirchav. You should graze, the Mikneh should graze in the day. Kar Nirchav, that the fat should be like the height, should be like the weight, should be that fat where it's very, very wide. That was the basis for his. I don't think it's a B'dieved, but that was his suggestion how big the sheep should be. Ksiv, it says, the pasuk says further, regarding a completely different topic here, that but we are going to see what Rav Shila says about this pasuk. It says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Al Chamosayach Yishalayim Hivkadati Shomrim Koyom V'chol Laila. On the walls of Yishalayim had placed different Shomrim and security guards that were watching during the day and during the night. Tamid, constantly Lo Yechshua Maskir Nes Hashem, they wouldn't speak silent of mentioning Hashem. Al Dami Lachem, they wouldn't be silent. They'd be saying Hashem's praise all night long. This is a reference to a Malachim who would constantly watch over and praise Hashem. So my Amri, what exactly were these Malachim saying? What were this praise that they were saying? Hachi Amar Rava Barav Shila, He said, that's why we brought the statement here, Ata tokim tirachim tzion, that you were going to raise up, you're going to have mercy on Tzion and rebuild it. This was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that they were praising they were davening and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, soon they're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, he says, no, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, that's the Pasuk in Tehillim that they would say, Hashem should rebuild Yerushalayim. Umeikara Maya Havi Amru, and before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Yerushalayim was still intact, what were these malachim saying? Amar Rava bar Rav Shila again, Kivach Hashem b'Tzion, because Hashem chose Tzion, Eva, the Moshe of Lo. He wanted to be arresting in Yerushalayim on Har Bayis. Hajnalach, Kol Karbanos, Hatzibra. Okay, great. Now we're starting the 10th parak, and those following the Masifta, the last volume of the Masifta, as I switch over, the new parak, the new mission begins as follows. Shtei midos, we're going to the various kalim that were used for measuring menachos and other types of things in the Beis HaMikdash. So there are shtei midos, there are two measuring cups, shel yavesh, that were meant to measure something dry, such as flour, hayu b'mikdash. Isaron, one measured in Isaron, v'chatzi Isaron, the other one had a half an Isaron. That were the two measuring cups that were there. Rabbi Meir Omer, Isaron, Isaron, v'chatzi Isaron. He thought that there were three, even though two of them were identical. There is one for Isaron, and there was a second one which also measured an Isaron, and then there's a third one which is the chatzi Isaron. So, the Gemara is going to explain all of this. Isaron ma haya mishamish. What was the need for the Isaron? Shebo haya mode lecha menachos. Every mincha had an Isaron of flour, so that was used for the regular mincha. Lo haya mode lo bishlosha v'lo lepar v'lo bishraim leayo. Even though when it came to a par, you required three esronim, they didn't have a large cup of three. They used a nisaron three times. They did a nisaron once, and a second time, and a third time. And even though when it came to the aisle, you required two esronim, they didn't have a large measuring cup for two. They did a nisaron once, and they did a nisaron second time. That's what they had used the nisaron for. And the chatzi nisaron was used, mahayam ashamish, what was it used for? Shebo hayam odid chavite kohen gadol. Every single morning, the Kohen Gadol would bring in a full Isaron, and they split in half, a chatzi Isaron in the morning, a chatzi Isaron in the afternoon, mechza baboka, mechza bein harbaim. So that's what they used the chatzi Isaron to measure out half of the Isaron that the Kohen Gadol would bring each day. So the Gemara now says in the very bottom of the Amud here, Tanya. Hayya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi would say, Ma Tamar Lomer, what does it say in the Pasuk? Isaron, Isaron, La Keves Echad, there's an Isaron, and then there's another Isaron for each sheep. Melame Cheshtei Esronos, Hayya B'Mikdash, should tell us that there were actually two Esronos. That's why it says the Pasuk, Isaron, Isaron. Otherwise, it should have said Shtei Esronos. Why Isaron and then Isaron? That there are two measuring cups measuring the same exact. So what's the difference between? Echad Gadosh, V'Echad Machuk. One was able to hold a Gadosh, which was a heaping mound of an Isaron, and one was a machuk, one had a flat top, a mamisha, just exactly the right amount. So one was slightly bigger than the other one. Gadosh shebo hayimodid, l'chol menachos, the one that had a little bit more than Isaron, that was used for all menachos. And the machuk shebo, the one that was had an even top, that was mamish, exactly a Isaron, shebo hayimodid, l'chavite kohen gadol, was used to measure out the half of the Isaron used each morning, the another half Isaron used in the afternoon for the chavite kohen gadol. Chachamim, they said, no, l'haya sham ela Isaron echad, there's only one Isaron. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, v'Isaron echad, l'kevesa echad, there's only one Isaron, there's no such thing as a second one. Im kein ma tamalomer Isaron Isaron. So what did the Chacham do with the Pasuk that repeats the word Isaron twice? So the Rabbis that tell me that Chatzi Isaron, that one's in Isaron and one's referring to the Chatzi Isaron. So Rabbi Meir, what does he say back? Chatzi Isaron minali. How does he know a Chatzi Isaron? Since he uses the words Isaron Isaron to tell me that there are two types of Isarons, where is the source of a Chatzi Isaron? So he learns it out from Nafgalei mi vi Isaron. The Vav in the beginning is Eksha vi Isaron, adding in even a Chatzi Isaron. The Rabbanim respond back, Vav lo Darshi. They don't Darshan an Eksha Vav, and therefore they only have an Isaron and then a Chatzi Isaron, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir, hi, v'isaron le'echad, le'keves echad. What do they do with the passage that says v'isaron echad, which sounds like there's only one Isaron in the Beis HaMikdash? My avile, what does he do with it? Hahu shlo yimdo lo shel shlosha lapar lo bishashnaim la'ayil, that you shouldn't use a big measuring cup of three or one of two for each of the par and the aisle respectively. Rather, you make each one, you do an Isaron at a time. Isaron once, and then twice, and then third time for the para, and then two times for the aisle. But you only use Isaron increments, nothing more than that. Rabbanan, how do they know not to make larger measuring cups than that? Nafkalei minikudo. Apparently there's a dot on top of the vav, the second vav in Isarim. That dot there that's in the Torah that tells me that Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Lama Nakud vav shebe'emsi Isarim. Why is there a nakuda dot on top of the vav that's in the center of the word Isarim? Sheisarim rishon sheyamta rishon shachag. This is referring to the Isarim that's brought on the first day of Sukkot. Shlo yimdo lo bishel shlo shalapar lo bishel shayim la'ayel, to tell me that don't make any larger measuring cups. That's the source. Hachacham know that halacha. And Rabbi Meir responds back, nekudo lo darsh. Apparently he doesn't darsh in nekudos. I don't know if that means in general or only in this particular case. And the Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah above, chatzi isarin machaya mishamish, what would they use a chatzi isarin for? That was used just for one thing in the Beis Hamikdash, though it was quite frequent, every single day, shebo haya moded lechavite kohen gadol, they'd use it to split up the isarin of the kohen gadol, half in the morning, half in the evening. So the Gemara says, moded, he measured out. So then the Gemara asks, would you really measure out the chatzi isarin? Where min he? Chavite kohen gadol lo haybar nechatzar, and they wouldn't bring them in halves. Ela mevi isarin shalom. The kohen gadol would bring a full isarin each morning. V'chotzei, they split it in half, and one for the morning, one for the evening. So they wouldn't actually measure it out. They just kind of assess that what a half looks like. They wouldn't have to take a chatzi isarin to measure it, though. So Amar Rav Sheshes, what does mean my mode nami de katani mechalik? When it means to measure, it means that they would split it in half using the isarin. That's exactly what was going on. They split it in half using the chatzi isarin is how they would find half. And the remaining part would be the other half. So, by minei Rami Bar Chama Rav Chista, chatzi isaron le Rebbe Meir gadishaya o machakaya. So that chatzi isaron that was used, according to Rebbe Meir, remember he had two isarons. One isaron was gadish and one was machak. So since he has such a concept of a gadish and machak, what would he hold by the chatzi isaron? Was that also gadish or was that machak as well? Which one was it? So the Gemara says, why are we only asking according to Rebbe Meir? Let's ask the same question for the Rabbanim. The Gemara says, the Rabbanim Isaron Gufe coming by lay. With the Gemara says, we don't even know what Rabbanim hold by the regular Isaron. When it comes to the one Isaron of Rabbanim, and that there's only one Isaron, we don't know if that's Gadishaya or Machakaya. There's a double question for Rabbanim. At least for Rebbe Meir, we know what he holds. That there's one Isaron for Machuk, one Isaron for Gadish. We don't know what the Chatzi Isaron was. But for Rabbanan, we don't even know what the one Isaron is, let alone what the Chatz Isaron is. So the Gemara responds back and explains, Amar le, midi Rebbe Meir, nishma le Rebbe Meir. From Rebbe Meir, Shita, we're able to figure out what he holds, and we're also able to figure out midi Rebbe Meir, nishma le Rabbanan. Meaning what? Mimad amar Rebbe Meir, Isaron machuk. From the fact that Rebbe Meir holds that when would you use the Isaron machuk? That was used for the Minchas Chavitim in the Kohen Gadol. That when he would bring it every single morning, it would be a Isaron machuk. So then we can learn from here that therefore the Chatz Isaron Nami Machuk, the half of Isaron that was used also for the Chavit Kohen Gadol, also must have been exactly even on top. Now the fact that we say Midir B'Meir Machuk, we can also conclude that the Rabbanan is Nami Machuk, in which case everybody agrees that the Chatz Isaron was Machuk. Okay, then Gemara now says, wants to know, the way it worked with the Chatz Isaron of the Chavit Kohen Gadol, when they split it in half, they take that half of Isaron and then they turn it into six loaves of bread. So the Gemara wants to know how exactly was this done. So by minei Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chista, Chavite Kohen Gadol b'meh mechalkin l'chalos. How exactly will they split up the dough? They again have a half an isaro in the flour making dough, and they split that dough up into six different chalos. Would they use bayad or bakli? Would they use a hand to split up different pieces, or would they have a kli cutting the dough into six different pieces? So Gemara says pshita de bayad. It was obvious that they used their hand. Diva kli, if they were using a kli, a utensil to measure out the six loaves of bread, tertani achnis. Are you going to bring a scale into the base of Migdash? Gemara says, why not? V'yachnis, why not? What's the big deal? Why can't you bring, maybe they talk about a scale and weighed out six evenly weighted chalas. Why is it such a chiddush to bring in a scale? So Gemara says, Kevin, the biklalux, since in the context of a curse, lav orach ara. It says in the pasuk in Chukosai, v'eshivu lach mechem ba'mishkal. They're going to give back bread by weighing them out. So since it's mentioned in the Tochacha, we don't want to bring a mishkal into the base of Migdash, and therefore they didn't weigh them out. Rather, they used their hands to split up the different chalas. Gemara now says, by minei Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chista. He asked the following question: Shulchan Maoshe Kaddish Kmatzim. is a shulchan, the shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash that was able to be mekadesh the lechem upon him. Did it also have the ability, let's say a person were to accidentally, a kohen takes a kmitza and places it, instead of putting it into a kli, he places it into onto the shulchan. Will the shulchan have the ability to mekadesh the kmatzim? So the Gemara says, bagodesh shelo. In this part of the question, the Godesh, what's a Godesh Lo? Godesh Lo is the area in between the Lechem that we know the Lechem Panim were on different floors, different shelves. So in between there, if you place the Kamatzim on top of the Lechem Panim, in that airspace, would that have the ability to be Makdish the Kamatzim? So Gemara says, do we say, since the Shulchan has the ability to be Mekadesh the Lechem, it also has the ability to be Mekadesh the Kamatzim? Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say, the Chazilei Mekadesh, the Lo Chazilei Lo Mekadesh. Only that which it's fit for, that's meant to go on the Shulchan, namely the Lechem Panim, is going to be sanctified, but that which does not go on, namely the Kamatzim, will not be. Amarlei, he responds back, Eino Mekadesh. The Shulchan is not Mekadesh the Kamatzim. Ain, is that really true? It's not Makadish the Kamatim Vaha Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us? The Divrei Omer, according to the opinion that says, Tvachayim Umechsa Kofel, that the height of each of the Lechem Apanim were doubled, folded over in such a way where it's 2.5 Tvachim high. So now we know, Nimsa Shulchan Makadish Chamisha Asar Tavach Lamala. So you have 2.5 Tvachim, and there's 6 on each column, so 2.5 times 6 ends up being 15 Tvachim. That means the Shulchan has the ability to be Makadish 15 Tvachim high. And the Divrei HaOmer Tvachayim Kofel, the one who holds that they were only each lechem were only 2 tvachim high, that means it was a total of 12 tvachim high. Nimsa Shulchan Mekadesh Shneimasar Tevach Lamala had the ability to be Mekadesh 12 tvachim above. Now Rabbi Yochanan certainly is not telling us that the chiddush that the Shulchan can be Mekadesh lechem upon him. That we all know. So what's Rabbi Yochanan telling us? That's Mekadesh 15 tvachim high or 12 tvachim high must be telling us that anything that's within the 15 tvachim or within the 12 tvachim, even though it's not meant to be there, that will be Mekadesh. So if a person were to put kamatzim in the airspace between the different shelves, it would taka be Mekadesh, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara responds back, Amar lei, ein Mekadesh li karev, aval Mekadesh li pasam. It has the ability to be Mekadesh, in which case, it doesn't have the ability to be Mekadesh to now be makriv, that kmitza onto the mizbech, but it has the ability to make it nakadosh, whereby if you leave it out overnight, it will be considered pasul. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan.
What do you mean? You put kmitza instead of putting it in the kli, you just put it on top.
You put it on top of the bread or something like that, yeah. So, new Mishnah tells us now. So we spoke up until now about the shtei midos, the 2 kalim, or perhaps 3 kalim of the midos yavish, the dry measurements. Now the Mishnah is telling us that there were 7 midos shalach, there were 7 measurements of liquid. So how you be mikdash? That we're in the base of mikdash, and the Mishnah lists all 7 of them now. Hin, v'chatzi hin, v'shlishish hin, v'revisa hin. Those are 4. Then log, v'chatzi log, v'revisa log. Those are another 3. That total 7. Rabbi Eliezer bar Rabbi Tzadok Omer shnosos hayubahin. He felt actually there's only 1 kli, and then there are different marks. Like we have our measuring cups for baking. There's only 1 cup. It tells you a quarter of a cup, a half a cup, a full cup. So too here they had the different lines where the chatzi hin was, where the shlishis hin was. So and then it says adkan lepar, adkan la'ayla, adkan la'kev. So it told you how much you need for each animal. It didn't tell you even what the amount was. But for a par needs this amount, the ayla needs this amount, and the keves needs this amount. That's what he felt. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, lo hayu sham hin. He says there was no, if there's no hin, so v'chi ma'ayah hin mishamish. So, he says again. You know, he goes back to the Tanakhama again that there are 7 midos, but he takes out the hin because the hin wasn't needed. Hin was used only 1 time. It was in times of Moshe Rabbeinu for the Shemen Hamishcha. He needed a Shemen Zayis hin, but that was no longer necessary. So he removes hin from the 7 midos and he adds in Elamidiyasera Shalogu Mechsa Hayisham. There was one that was a log Mechsa, 1.5 log. What was that for? Sheba Hayamodi Laminchas Kohen Gadol. That was used for the Minchas Kohen Gadol, that he would bring the oil. He brings Shlosh Alugin each morning and Logu Mechsa Baboker to accompany the Mincha. And lo gumechsa bin harbaim. So again, every single day the Kohen Gadol will bring an isar and a flour and 3 log of oil. So he split half and half each morning and evening. So in the morning he have half a isar and a flour, but there'd also be 1.5 log of shem in the morning and then the same amount in the afternoon. So they had this extra measuring cup for the shemen of the Kohen Gadol. So the Braisa tells us now we'll go on to the next amud, Tanur Rabbanim. Sheva midos shalachai b'mikdash. There are seven measuring cups used for liquid measurements. Revius log, revius log, v'chatzi log, v'log. Revius ahin, shlishi ahin, v'chatzi in v'hin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is going to say the same exact thing, but just a different order. Rabbi Meir Omer hin v'chatzi in shlishi ahin, revius ahin, v'log, v'chatzi log, revius log. Again, same thing. The Gemara tomorrow's daf is going to explain why the difference of the order. Who cares? Rabbi Shimon Omer lo haya sham hin. There's no hin. The chima haya in the mishash. What was the shamish needed for? Esmi avitachtav. You don't need to have a hin in the base of Mikdash. It was unnecessary. It's only a one-time event. Elihi adds in the seventh one was not the hin. Rather, elamida yisera shalog umechza haya sham, like we just saw in the Mishnah. Shabo haya modi lechavite kohen gadol. Logu mechza baboker. Logu mechza ben erbaim, referring to the oil. So Amru lo, they say back to Rabbi Shimon, chatzi log hayis hasham. There's a chatzi log. You don't need a separate measuring cup of 1.5. You could take the log, we have one measuring cup, take a half a log, and then put oil in both, and then you have created a 1.5 log. Why do you have to have a special midah for that? So he says, Epshir l'shar b'chatzi log. So the Gemara, and there are suggestions, or you could do half a log three times. That also gets the total of 1.5. But there are other measuring cups that are already there to get the need for 1.5. Why do you have to have a whole new midah? So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Shimon says back to them, Afla Devrechem, according to you, Chati log, Velog, Lo Yase, Revius, why do you have to make a Chati log? A half a log, take two Revius, Hayisham, and do it twice. We know two quarters make a half, so why do you have to have a half? Have it just use the quarter. Vefshel Shar Revius, twice. So Ella, Zakal, Hayabim Mikdash, Klisha, Meshamish, Midazo, Eina Meshamish, Midacheres. So they would never double things up. They have to have a measuring cup for that particular measure that was needed. Okay? We'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Yes.